FM.
KFA BPI Mobile.
We're basically at the mouth of the Detroit River right now.
Oh, there you go, doing some fishing. I had the other radio blast in on me when you said, just before, whatever you said before, at the mouth of the Detroit River.
Yeah, we're basically at the mouth of Detroit River. We each caught one fish, so the son, my oldest son, he's the winner right now with a 3-pound smallmouth, and I got a 1-pound smallmouth, and then Colton has, he caught a big perch that's sitting in the live well, so hopefully we'll get a few more. He wants to eat them today.
There you go. That sounds like a plan. Which repeater are you on down there? You probably hit either one from there.
Yeah, I'm on the UMP repeater. That's the one I happen to be on the radio.
Oh, sacrilege. Nah, just kidding. All right, anyhow, sounding good, though. You're making it in pretty well. And I am at the pharmacy. I got to run in and get a couple of scripts. Catch you in a few. I'll be at a few.
Sounds good. Can you hear them?
KJO monitoring.
K8TFM, W8CPT, copy. CCM testing.
Loud and clear, WATPT. KEATFM. KEATFM, WATPT, how's it going?
That's going. I'm heading out to the Algonac launch now. I only got the Warren SDI in this radio, so I'm at 23 and 94, so I'm probably going to be getting at the end of the rope here pretty soon.
I'm thinking you might hit it all the way out there. It's doing pretty good. You might be surprised.
Yeah, I don't got the 2x4. I got the just the UHF antenna up there, so... But, yeah, you're right. It may make it. We'll see. I guess we'll find out. Yeah, so hopefully I got enough daylight and everything to get situated here. But the weather doesn't look good tomorrow. We're going to get some rain. The wind's going to be a little stronger. So I figured I got to go tonight. Last night I wasn't able to.
Yeah, it figures when I can go, it's going to rain. That's usually what used to happen when I went all the time. I'd be like, all right, let's go. Oh, no, wind and rain. Oh, let's go. Oh, wind and rain.
Yeah, we did okay this morning. We went out to the dumping grounds and caught a few smallmouth, two perch. So it was pretty cool. There was a lot of gar that were like a foot under the water. You know, the big weed piles out there in the dumping ground. They were just kind of swimming over the tops of the weeds. We got one to follow the bait, but it wouldn't take it.
I wonder how many people actually got one of them fish to bite. I know lots of people that have snagged them, but I don't know anybody that's actually got one to bite.
I had this old guy tell me the way to fish for him is you take that yellow nylon rope, and he said you basically just kind of break that apart so it's real bushy, paint it different colors, and you drag that and make it about 2 feet long, and they'll actually hit it, and then their teeth get tangled in that rope, and you can get them that way. That's what I'm told.
That is kind of interesting. I could see how it would work.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. It was pretty cool. We thought we were going to get that one to bite that we've seen today. And, yeah, I got the bait right in front of it, pulled it past, and it turned right around and followed it right up to the boat and then left.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I've never... Even when we're casting offshore in the river for walleye, them things will be cruising the shore, and you'll see like three or four of them in a group. Everybody tries to snag them because they know they're not going to bite.
I was fly fishing off Metro Beach by the jet ski launch there one year, and I caught them spawning in May, and they were chasing my streamer right up to me, and it was... For about 4 hours, I could get a group of three of them to chase it right up to me, and I could not get anything to take it. It was really frustrating, because, you know, when they're in their spawn, and there were some real big ones, like 4 feet, 5 feet long, they were huge. You just could not get it to get anything to bite.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what they eat. I wonder if they just, like, find a big perch, and they... grab it and just start chomping and it breaks up in pieces and then they eat that. And I have to look that up and see what they actually eat.
Yeah, I know in Florida we went on a bass charter about 5 years ago and 6 years ago and we were catching them on crawlers. I think we caught a couple of them. Yeah, we caught at least one. Not about two of them. And they were all on crawlers and hooks and So down there, they're a little bit different.
Yeah, I feel like somebody might have caught one on a bobber in a worm off of Brandenburg Pier one day when I was out there. But other than that, I can't remember anybody even coming close to having one bite. I think that, yeah, with a worm on a hook under a bobber, I think.
Yeah, today was the first time I was out there at the dumping grounds, and I didn't realize how, like, thick the weeds got. I mean, it was like 12 feet right up to the surface. They were real thick. It was the first time I'd seen it like that, because I never fished this time of year. But, yeah, it was pretty thick in the few spots where they got the big piles.
Yeah, that's one reason why you might want to go to the middle, because all that boat action from the Port Huron to Mackinac sailboat race might be pushing a bunch of weeds down the main north channel, and you'll see big clumps of weeds going by, and you'll have to try to steer your lines away from it, or clear lines.
Yeah, there was surprisingly a lot of weed patches in the big, you know, in the main lake today. There was all kinds of them. And, yeah, we tried to fish the spillway, and it was just filled with garbage. There was logs, sticks, patches everywhere. We just couldn't, you know, get the lines in long enough to do anything.
Oh, yeah, I remember going out. My buddy had a 25-foot well craft that he religiously trolled for muskie, and starting about July 1st until probably October, man, you were mostly a weed clearer if you were on the boat. Every time you'd roll through a patch of weeds, you'd have to reel in a line, take the weeds off, set it back out, and then if you get lucky, you'd get a muskie every once in a while.
Yeah, on the dumping grounds, there was some guys doing trolling for walleye. They had six of those little planer boards that they were running, and I don't know how they kept weeds off of them. Because I guess the way they're catching the walleye is their trolling crawler harness is just over the tops of the weeds. That's, I guess, how they were doing it.
Yeah, I would go on a good day of like a, I don't know, 5-8 mile an hour breeze, and I'd get quarter ounce bottom bouncers with crawler harnesses, and I'd just let it blow my boat, and I'd put out like 2 to 4 lines, and yeah, them quarter ouncers would stay just above the weeds, and you'd get everything, perch, smallies, walleye. It was fun. And if there was no wind, then you had to try to troll really slow, and that was hard.
Yeah, I was using the bottom bouncers. All I was getting was perch, but all the bass we got with crawlers and drop shot rigs, and I was just, you know, setting the line until I knew I was, you know, at the top of the weeds, and that was working for us.
Yeah, it was about this time of year in Anchor Bay over, there's a sailboat buoy. I think it's called the B buoy or C buoy or something. I don't know which one it was. We found a spot there that we were doing that drifting in the wind, and we were catching walleye like crazy, and I worked afternoon shift, and we decided to call in sick, so we made that waypoint still on my GPS. It's called call sick or something like that.
I probably know which buoy you're talking about. They always run races from that buoy down to, like, in front of the Clinton River, I think, out in that area.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were catching, like, mostly big perch, and back then the limit was still 50, and we were nowhere close. And we already, I think we were maybe two walleye each away from our limit. And we're like, we're not going to work. Name this spot Colin's Fish.
Yeah, it's hard to leave when the fishing's good. It was, I'm glad the fishing slowed down over at the dumping ground, because I probably would have stayed out there all day.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, there's deer. Deer in the fields. I'm actually heading back down now, but I'm so freaking tired, man. I I probably would fall asleep after 5 minutes of the rockin' waves.
Yeah, I'm tired just from being out in the sun all day, but I've been itching to get out, and the weather usually doesn't cooperate, so today's a good day to get out there. Yeah, it was pretty cool earlier. We had a freighter come by, and I called it on the Marine Channel, and he didn't answer me back, but I just said, "Hey, I got kids in the boat. We want to hear the foghorn." Yeah, about 1 minute later, he started honking the foghorn for us.
Ah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, those people do that standing on shore in the St. Clair River. Sometimes they'll do it depending on what the boat traffic's like. If there's a lot of boat traffic, they won't do it because people will be like, "What the heck's going on?" But no, that's cool. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, the second one that came by didn't, but I know they're all monitoring 16, so we just got them out there. KETFM. All right, well, I think I'm going to turn the radio off. It's probably about 10 miles away here, so I'm going to, I'll get my radio program for Richmond and see if that works once I get out there, and I'll send you a message once we get settled. But I think for the first part, we're just going to kind of drive around and see if we can find them on the side scan and try to set up on some. That's what I'm going to at least attempt right now. Because I'm sure there's still some boat traffic that is going to get in the way out there right now.
Yeah, just remember, if you're going to that North Channel launch, it stays real shallow, just goes straight out, and then it'll drop, like, quick. And then if you follow that drop towards shore, you're only going to be about maybe 20, 30 yards from the dock, and you'll be from the docks, and you'll be in 20 foot of water, and you'll catch them there. So if you want to get in a spot where if it's real trafficy and you're worried about, you know, people running into you, if you go that way, follow that drop off and then just start going about 30, 40 yards from shore in like 22 to 28 foot of water and start looking there. That's probably your best bet until you get to the middle channel. And then I would jump to the other side and look, but as you're going downstream, but there's probably going to be a ton of boats there.
Yeah, because this launch is upstream from the middle channel, right?
Yep, and on the other side of the river from the launch, it's really fast current, so you definitely don't want to be there until you get past the middle channel. Then both sides are decent. But yeah, you'll see. Just I know that spot right after that drop off, after that launch, you know, going downstream. Look and see if there's a white bench on one of the docks still. That spot was really good. I caught a lot of fish there. And then if you see the campers a little bit further down, there's usually a spot that has like 10 campers and a little channel to go in by the campers. Up and downstream of that was pretty good too. Just make sure you don't block the entrance, you know, to the channel going in where the campers are. But all along there, and then you go down even further, and there will be a dock that has an M on it. But that one, people sometimes fish from shore, so you got to be careful you don't get a chunk of lead tossed at you.
Yeah, definitely watch for that. All right, well, I'll chat with you once I get out there and see what, I'm sure the boat traffic's going to dictate everything for me, so. Yeah, we'll chat with you a little bit later then. This is KETFM, and I am clear.
All right, if it's real bad, make sure you check out the middle, that's for sure. And I'll catch you later. WHCPT.
WATPT. KEATFM.
Hey, WATPT. How's it going, David?
Yeah, there's already a boat anchored right in the spot outside of the launch on the waypoints that you marked. Well, like, almost exactly on the waypoints. So I think I'm going to go cruise into the middle channel because you gave me a spot there, too.
Was it a tan lund?
No, it's a black center console. So yeah, he was anchored, parked, ready to go.
Yeah, there's probably going to be lots of people out there.
How is it right after the Harson's Island Ferry? Like, is that okay in that area?
Yeah, on the mainland side, yeah. Yeah, there's, I've caught some fish there. There's like a really big house, I think right there, the first house coming downstream from there. One of the charter captains used to anchor there all the time. He used to do pretty good.
Tell you what, the weight these big boats make, man. Jeez. I'm like more nervous than having fun.
Yeah, that's why if you go down the middle channel, there'll be a new no-wake buoy after a little bit. And then it's no-wake until you see the other buoy. And 25-footers and bigger are supposed to go slow.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. I'm going to go into the middle channel and get there. There definitely are a lot of boats anchoring up over here, though. There's at least three or four that are out here already. Yeah, I think I'll go check it out over there. And then if that don't work, I'll come back on the way to the launch.
Yeah, make sure you stay in the deep part of the middle channel and make a popcorn trail on your GPS. But I've seen a pontoon boat stay too far to the right on the way back in. It went right up into the reeds.
So in the middle channel, just be at the deepest spot with the waypoint that you marked, right?
Yeah, that spot should be between the no-wake buoys, too. I still try to get as close as I can to shore, but still be in, like, 30 feet of water or more out there. There's not too big of these holes there, though, so... But yeah, that's a good spot. I'm the waypoint I gave you. There might be somebody there even.
All right, I'm gonna make a run over there. I'll talk with you later. KEATFM, I'll be clear.
All right, stay safe. Catch you later. WATPT.
WATPT, KEATFM.
Hey, Davian, how's it going?
Dude, I set up on the spot, and a sturgeon surfaced and came out of the water right next to the boat. I seen the whole fish come out. It was crazy. And then a second one across the river surfaced as well, too. Right in that spot you marked. But right next to the boat.
Well, you got to be careful you don't drop that anchor on their head. That's what happened.
And he was a big guy, too. He was a big fish. So, yeah, hopefully we can get into something. There's not a real strong current here, that's for sure.
Well, that's a little bit better because then your weight can stay on the bottom better. Yeah, I caught a 68 and 3/4 inch one there two summers ago, so should be close to 70 now if he's still there.
basically just let the bait sit out there and wait, huh?
Yeah, and they'll pretty much bite like a perch. So if you see something nibbling on it, take it out of the rod holder really slow. Hold it in your hands, and when you feel it pull again and bite, then set the hook and start reeling. And you'll get bait stealers too in some spots where like they'll be down there for 10 minutes and all your worms will be gone. So you'll probably want to check your lines, your bait every like maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And then if it seems like they're getting cleaned off, then check them, you know, like every 5 minutes. And if they're getting cleaned off that quick, then you might want to move a little bit. And whatever's eating it maybe won't follow you.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, we'll give it a try. Hopefully the next time I reach out, it's because we boated something. Yeah, there was probably 5 boats in the mouth of the middle channel all anchored in there. No one down here where I'm at, though.
All right, that's a good sign. Maybe, you got one right next to the boat, you know that. So if you put that secret sauce on one of them, you're going to probably make it key in and you'll get it on that one.
Yeah, that's what we did. Sauce on one, nothing on the other.
All right, keep me posted. If I don't answer, I should be on here for a while, but if I don't answer on here, drop me a text.
All right, sounds good. KEA TFM monitoring.
All right, good luck. WEBD. KEA TFM, you still out there?
Yeah, the mosquitoes haven't carried me away yet. KEA TFM.
Yeah, 9:30, I said. This is about when they usually kick in here, man. Are you on the Richmond, by the way? I'm just curious what you're hitting out there.
I'm on the Romeo.
Wow, that's interesting. The Romeo, wow. That's making a good trip. TFM, WHPT.
WHCPT, KEA, TFM.
Poor man's lobster. That thing's quite pretty good, don't they?
Yeah, I got it halfway up. I thought it was off, and then it, right at the boat, it was just kind of followed it up. But it took the line. You heard zing. We were really hoping we had one, but... Yeah, but I'll take that. I'll catch those all day. They're fun to catch at least, but definitely not what we're after, but keep it on the franks.
All right, okay. So now that you got to throw him back in and he'll go tell the surgeon, all right, man, that's some good stuff. And then you see a bright light and some aliens, and then they let you go.
At least we're not skunked. That's a good thing.
Yep, it's a waiting game, man, but once you get that first one, man, then the waiting ends up being worth it. They're just so cool looking, man.
Well, I know they're here, because I watched them on the side of the boat. So hopefully we can get the deal closed here soon. At least the mosquitoes died down a lot. It's like they're almost completely gone now.
Yeah, that's usually what happens, man. They come in thick, and then all of a sudden, maybe after about half hour, they're gone for the most part. I have
was updating my caps. Let's see here. I think there's like an hour and the ISS is going over. If you're still out there, trying to see where it's going to be.
Oh, cool. I have ISS channels on this radio, yeah, 5 of them.
Let's see. 11:13 p.m. if you're still out there.
Did you say 11:33 p.m.? Because I do have ISS channels on this radio.
Says it's visible the whole, well no, it's visible from 11:15 to 11:19. So, yeah, 11:13 from the northwest to the east. I thought maybe you guys would be able to see it. I don't know if it's cloudy though. I haven't really looked up in the sky.
Well, watch for that if I've got action going on. All right, I got to pull some lines up. It looks like little fish are biting them. KEATFM.
Hey, that might be sturgeon, man. They bite like perch sometimes.
Can't feed a whale.
KEATFM, WATPP.
Yeah, we were making the same call. No fishies yet. KEATFM.
Has anybody got some coins in their pocket? You gotta pay the fish ferry. Throw some coins in the water.
I wonder if there's like other species of fish that jump to the surface of the water and roll like the sturgeon do, because it seems like there's an awful lot of them doing that around us here. I'm wondering if it's like dogfish or, you know, something like that.
Well, the only other thing I know of that might do it is carp, but they wouldn't be in current. So it's probably sturgeon. I was looking through my Facebook. Everybody's saying there's a whole bunch of lampreys on them this year, and the DNR, I think that's one reason why they jump, is to jump out of the water and try to get the lampreys to fall off of them.
Well, if that's the case and it's sturgeon, we're definitely in the right spot. That's for sure. I'm trying to decide how long I stay at this spot or if I maybe go to the other side of the channel. There seems to be more jumps over there than by us.
Yeah, what's the depth look like on the other side where you're at on your GPS? Does it look like it's still got some depth over there?
Well, let me check. I had the fish finder off just to get rid of the light, but I'll turn it back on and take a look. Give me a second.
From what you sent me, I mean, you weren't zoomed in very far, but it looks like it's deeper on the side you're on. And it looks like it's shallow over on the other side, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's definitely, deeper over here. We're in about 38 feet of water where we're at. This is the deepest spot right here. Across, it's 21 to 30 feet, I would say.
That's still not bad. You know, I've caught them anywhere from 20 to 70. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, that's definitely in the current across from where you're at, so it's got to be sturgeon. There's nothing else that would jump.
Do they sound like somebody doing a cannonball, some of them? You know, like kerplunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one that rolled next to the boat, I mean, it was a big fish, and it was definitely a sturgeon. There's no doubt. And it's like almost the whole fish came out and just kind of rolled like an arch back into the water. But it sounded like a kind of like a cannonball on a lot of them.
Yeah, it's definitely a sturgeon. I'm almost positive. There's nights that we hear them jumping all over the place, and then, like, when the jumping gets less, that's when we start getting bites. So I'm thinking, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're just playing. I think that they come to the top to fill their air bladder because they got an air bladder that helps them, keep their depth or whatnot. And I think at night they just can't see where the surface is, so they keep swimming until they come out of the water and get their air. So, but yeah, when the jumping goes down, when there's a night where they're jumping like crazy, it's usually when we start getting fish. But it don't always happen that way. Sometimes they're not jumping at all. We catch five or six that night. Other nights they're jumping like crazy and we catch 10, you know. So there's really no rhyme and reason. But I did notice more often than not, if they're jumping a lot, they're not biting as much. And they still do, but not as much. And then once the jumping ceases a little bit, then they start biting.
It's been a minute since one jumped, so hopefully that's what happens here. it's pretty quiet. And when fish aren't biting, I start getting antsy, and I like changing things, so trying to resist the temptation. The boys keep saying stay, so I think I'm just going to listen to them.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to pull in one line and check the worms, you know, and put some fresh ones on, and then once that one's back out, check the other one. But keep one in all the time. You only got two going?
Yeah, just two of them. That's all I have big reels for. I only got two big rods with big reels. I mean, I have my bait casters for bass here, but current's strong enough. I think it'll be a pain reeling that weight up.
Yeah, not only that, once you get a sturgeon on, it ain't going to be enough if it's a big one. I'll have to try to plan because my rods don't come apart, man, so I can't leave them in my truck. They're one piece. I think maybe the new ones are one piece. I'll have to see. But, yeah, I mean, do you got more rod holders or do you only got two rod holders?
No, I got two more rod holders, actually, so I got a total of four that I can have.
All right, yeah, I'll have to try to figure out how to get two of my rods when I do go with you that way. I usually put two out the back, drop one straight down, cast one out straight out a little bit out the back, and then one out each side, and I'll cast them as far as I can, unless I'm close to shore.
Yeah, I'm just giving a short cast off the corner of the boat, and once it sinks, I let about 30 feet of line out once the sinker hits the bottom.
Yeah, what I would do is thumb it until you feel it hit the bottom, and then try to walk it back, and not just let line out, and then... like right now, pick up one of them and see if you can lift it up and then feel it hit the bottom. Because even with them bigger weights, sometimes they come off the bottom with that current. Make sure they're on the bottom.
All right, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll do that right now. I'll check that and see if they're close enough. All right, yeah, I'll let you know. Take them.
trying to stay awake because I want to see a picture. I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. I'll be up for a little. Oh, actually, the ISS is going by right now. I'm going to switch over to that real quick, and then I'll come back on here. WECPT.
ELT, this is Cafe de Wild. How are you doing tonight?
WECPT, KG8TFM. KG8TFM.
Hey, David, WECPT. So what do you got? Did you get one?
Well, this time I did what you said. I put the weight on the bottom. I kind of walked it back a little bit. Current's not real strong, but now the rods are bent a little bit more, so I know I'm definitely on the bottom now.
All right. Yeah, I would, every once in a while when it's slow like this too, I end up grabbing the rod every once in a while. I'm bouncing that, sinker on the bottom, and I don't know if it helps or not, but it gets some of the muck or whatever on the bottom going, and sometimes they think it's something feeding, you know, and they'll come to the dust. I guess you could call it dust, but it's really wet, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking I'm going to start doing. You're just kind of giving it a couple bounces. Every 10 minutes or so.
Was your bait still on there?
Yeah, but one of them looked like it was getting chewed on by something because I had to add another crawler to it. There might be something small down there playing with it.
That's actually a good thing, because there's nights literally when it's down there 5 minutes and you pull it up and the hook's clean. So, you know, that's another plus about where you're at. You're not getting eaten up by smaller bait fish or gobies, or I think crayfish eat the worms down there too. But, yeah, if you're not getting eaten up by them, that means when a sturgeon does swim by, it'll still be there.
It's pretty peaceful out here tonight. It's definitely getting a little bit quiet. We need at least another sheephead here. We need some action.
Yeah, it's really crazy how it goes, man. Some nights you go out there and you catch 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, and other nights it's all you can do to buy one. And I know earlier in the season it's usually not as good. It gets better as it gets towards September and even October. But I've had some really good nights too in July. So you know, it's just like every other fish. Some days they're biting, some days they're not. It's terrible, but they're there, and you know they're there. You've seen one.
All right, I'm gonna go. Smack some weights off the bottom here. I'll be back. KE8TFM.
Alright, I'm sitting on this frequency and until I can't stay awake anymore, which is getting pretty soon. I'll be here until I tell you I'm leaving. WECPT.
And just off the back of the boat, a big one just came up and smacked the water. I can see its outline in the moonlight. KE8TFM.
If it's right behind you, man, there's Keanu on your bait, just get ready.
Yeah, Colton and I we just probably give you like 20 bounces on the sinker on each of them at the same time. So, we definitely roughed it up down there.
Yeah, and if this jump behind the boat like that, I don't know, I'm saying, and I'm guessing the next 5 to 10 minutes something's going to hit. And if you do hook
probably
one,
was any kind of
hook, got that hook, keep reeling. There's
50 yards behind us, I'd say.
I think they can feel that hook stinging them. And they'll shoot straight up, and you'll feel like you don't have nothing there. Then a fish will jump, and then when it goes back down, you'll know it's there.
Yeah, this fish was only about 50 yards behind us, if that.
All right, it's coming. You're going to get one here. That's another thing I noticed, too, is I would go out. I hated doing charters because you had to kind of go out, you know, at like 6 p.m. just because people didn't want to stay out there all night. And it seemed like it got better about 11:30. And if we didn't have, you know, at least a fish or two and they weren't happy, I would just stay out as late as they wanted to. And usually the best was after 11.
Yeah, it looks like I got another boat coming over here to start fishing in my spot.
Is it a big boat or a smaller boat?
Yeah, it looks like a fishing boat. I'll be back in a second. I'm gonna make sure he sees me.
KF8, BLX.
Go ahead, this is WATCC.
Hey guys, how's it going tonight? What kind of fishing are we doing?
Well, Davian's out sturgeon fishing, and I'm living vicariously through him at the moment. He's only got a few sheep heads over there.
Cool. I was just scanning and heard you guys. I was just curious. Appreciate the come back there. I'll let you guys get back to it. You guys have a good night. KF8BLX.
Alrighty. Feel free to jump in if you want. We're just talking and passing time. I'm hoping to hear him say, whoa, we got one on. W8CPP.
Yeah, just a powerboat cruising by.
Okay, yeah, because my one buddy, Captain Todd, he's known to come down there. So if it was a bigger boat, I thought maybe he was checking things out. But he don't usually go out on weekends unless he has to take a charter that wants to go on a weekend.
Pole's going. I'll be back.
All right, get him. WATCC, good job, baby. You guys, that's awesome. Be careful, they're really sharp, man. I don't know if I told you to bring gloves or not.
No, I forgot gloves, that's why I can't take a picture holding it. But, yeah, it was cool. I thought we had a sheep net, but, no, that was a pleasant surprise. So, we got the first sturgeon boated. That's awesome.
What is it, about 28 inches or so?
Yeah, probably 24 to 28, somewhere in there.
You already let it go?
Yeah, I let it go. I don't even know where the tape measure is. My son's sleeping on the thing in the bow, and I think it's in there. So we're definitely ill prepared.
Oh yeah, I don't think I'd keep one anyway. I think it's 42 to 50 inches to keep one. Yeah, you can keep one a year, and then you keep fishing for them, catch and release, even if you keep one, but, I don't know, I'd rather eat walleye and perch, and you don't eat fish anyway, so, But no, that's cool, man. That could have been one of the ones I raised in my aquarium for a sturgeon in the classroom. That's about the right size. They don't have tags, external tags, but they have tags that you can read with like a pet tag reader. I actually have one, but I'll have to check the battery if I bring it when we go out, make sure it's still working.
Alright, so I'll be back in a couple minutes. I'm going to get some more worms on this pole, get it back in the water. KE8TFM.
Alright, good job, guys. I just wanted to say I told you 5 or 10 minutes, didn't I?
Davian called too. He said next fish is a sturgeon. So, worked out good. Now we got to try and get a couple more.
Alright, the next one's going to be 66 inches. So we'll be ready for the question for like 15 minutes.
Alright, now I want the big one. KE8TFM.
Are they still jumping? WACTT.
Yeah, they're still jumping all around us.
Well, hopefully that one went down and said, alright, come on, fun ride. Bite that hook.
Even if the bait, even after the bait's been sitting there on the bottom, when we pull it up, you can smell the Frank's Red Hot on those worms.
Oh yeah, was it on that one?
Yeah, I'm running it on both now. You can totally smell it.
That's hilarious. You said you bounced those weights not too long before you had that fish, right?
Yeah, we've been bouncing them, so I don't know if it makes a difference, but I'm going to say everything we did before it made the difference, so I'll be bouncing weights all the time now.
Yeah, the reason why I mentioned that is I seen in that one picture of the sheep head, it looked like glass. And normally there's boats, wakes that are bouncing your weight. So without the waves, nothing's doing that. So yeah, that really helps when it's calm like that.
Hopefully the video will upload on Telegram here. It's about halfway, a little over halfway done, but the fish kind of swam next to the boat for a little bit when we released it,